Hello, welcome to another episode of Locked On Sharks, your premier podcast for your favorite team in the Bay Area. Today we are digging back into the draft profiles, and we are going to be looking at one defenseman who is going to be really in the Sharks' range. Our guest today has a very, very interesting comparison for him, so we'll get to that. But yeah, Pavel Minchikov, who OHL kid who scored a ton of points, and boy, we're going to profile him, see if he'll be a fit for the Sharks and where he would kind of stack into their prospect of the Sharks draft, and kind of get to know more about Minchikov right after this.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm, of course, JD Young. Kyle is packing and dealing with the move to Australia. If you guys haven't heard, Friday will be Kyle's last episode, and we're going to be doing a live episode Thursday night to send Kyle off in style. It'll just be all vibes, no analysis, like the good old times when the Sharks beat the Maple Leafs that one Friday night. So, so we're going to be doing that. But before then, we got to dig back into the profiles. We haven't done one in a while, and profile draft season's right around the corner. I think we're, like 5 or 6 weeks out. So we're going to really start honing in on potential players for the Sharks who could be actual real guys for them to pick there. So if you haven't listened to us before, if you're getting just kind of a nice refresher, so what I'll do is I will actually kind of give you a nice little profile of the guy, and then we will have our expert on who's actually scouted him and done all that fun stuff, quote unquote expert. I'm still a little worried about this guy's credentials, but we can hash all that out here in a minute. So Pavel Minchikov, he plays for an OHL for the Saginaw Spirit. They are hashtag bad, but he's a November 2003, so he's a little bit older prospect. He's already 18. He was from Russia, but he spent this season playing in the OHL. He's a 6'1" left-handed defenseman, 192 pounds, and his rankings are kind of all over the place, to be honest. So Elite Prospects has him at 7, TSN Bob McKenzie has him at 16, McKean's has him at 13, Craig Button has him at 10, 6 in the North American Central Scouting. Our friends over at Smot Scouting have him at 26, Dauber has him at 12. So he's kind of up and down the board. I mean, I've seen him mock to the Sharks in a couple mock drafts, but I mean, the kid can definitely score. So he missed out an entire season last year, of course, with the OHL not playing due to COVID. But this year lit the league on fire in 67 games at 17 goals, 45 assists for 62 points. That puts him at a nice 0.93 points per game. And I think it's only right to bring on one Tony Ferrari to actually talk about what Pavel. This guy's all offense, right?
Well, first I'd like to say thank you for making me your new co-host.
Yeah, yes.
Craig or Kyle or whatever his name is. He's gone and I'm here to save the day. No, but it's going to suck to see Kyle go at the end of the day. But yeah, let's talk about Pavel, one of my favorite left wingers and left-handed defensemen in the draft.
You're getting a 2-for-1 with this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I did a terrible job. I didn't even really... So Tony Ferrari, if you guys don't know, which... Our Bald King, it works for Sports Illustrated and the Hockey News, covering the NHL draft and prospects. He gets passed around this time of the season between all the Locked On hosts because, yeah, I mean, who doesn't love a Bald King? But so Pavel, yes, he plays a lot of offense and he does it really well, right?
Yeah, no, he's an exceptional offensive defenseman. He's really fun to watch. He's one of those guys early in the year that I was like, I love this kid. I have no idea what he's doing.
He's and like a dog chasing a car out there.
Yeah, he really is. And like I mentioned to you before the podcast, I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen a defenseman be the F1 on a forecheck so often. this guy, like, his skating ability is what saves the day for, at the end of the day. He's able to kind of be that F1 and then still manage to get back into position defensively most of the time, especially towards the end of the year where he started to clean things up a little bit more defensively and allowed me to actually envision him as a left-handed defenseman, because I think on my first draft rankings early in the year, and I'm only doing two this year, a midseason and a final, and the final will be coming out in a few weeks. But the midseason, the first sentence I wrote was, I didn't know whether to list him as a left winger or a left-handed defenseman, because this guy plays the offensive game just like a high-end skilled winger that you love to see drive the net and make guys miss at the blue line, embarrass dudes, and then cut into the center lane and get shots off from good spots. So he's a ton of fun, and this is a kid that, with some patience, with some development, like, he could be a really special player.
So he's the reverse Brent Burns, who came in as a four and then made him and then he went back to four and then he stayed defense. But so you talked about his skating. Is that kind of like, what do you think is the one skill with him that you're like, okay, that's NHL caliber? Is it his skating? Is it like, is it just like kind of the whole pack, like his size? What is it, you think?
Well, he's got good size. I don't think he's got bad size by any means. He's obviously 6'1", almost 200 pounds. He's a guy that the skating is there, and that's what I think is the biggest strength of his game. But honestly, it's the creativity that I think is really what intrigues me. He's able to do things with the puck that so many forwards can't do in terms of just puck skills, dangles, and stuff like that. He's able to embarrass guys at the blue line. Kind of, he'll walk the blue line, like skating backwards a little bit towards the center of the lane, and a forward will kind of chase him, and he'll just stop and start real quick. And next thing you know, he's in behind that forward, kind of driving that center lane, drawing more attention away, and then he's got the ability to pass the puck out and distribute or take the shot if he's got a shot too. So he's a really interesting offensive player. Like I said, there's things he needs to clean up defensively, but there were signs of that towards the end of the year, and he kind of took advantage of the fact that he is such a good skater to do that defensively. He understood that he doesn't need to go for the big hit or the big play every time defensively. There were so many times where he'd sell out to try to intercept a pass and get a breakaway, which is a weird thing to say about a defenseman. But he was doing that at the start of the year, and he's kind of reined in a little bit, and he'd still go to try to intercept that pass, but he's not 4 feet ahead of the pass before it's even there. So he's starting to mature. He's starting to figure things out defensively, but the offensive game is what really makes him special.
All right, before we kind of get into his defensive game, let's take a quick break and talk to you guys about our friends over at Built Bar. I love brownies, but you know what I love more? Brownie batter. Sometimes I eat half the batter just while I'm making the brownies, or my wife's making the brownies because I'm terrible at baking. So imagine if you could just lick the brownies, especially clean, and get some protein while you're at it. You're in luck because Built Bar's got you covered with their new brownie batter puffs. You heard me right. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level. They're available right now on built.com. If you haven't tried the puffs yet, you don't know what you're missing. They are covered in 100% chocolate, but there are also marshmallow in this inside. That's right. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% chocolate with 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar. Brownie batter puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. So go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. Oops. All right, so defensively, I mean, you talked about his kind of maturation over the season, but it kind of, from what I was reading and stuff like that, it seems like he was maybe trying to do that the highlight reel stuff a little bit too much, where it was like, hey, you know, I'm gonna go for the big hit type of thing and be on, you know, get my nice little clip or whatever. But like, I mean, it is nice to hear that he's kind of reined it in. I think that's where you'd rather be, right? Where it's like showing too much and then like, hey, with some coaching, you know, kind of almost like the Erik Karlsson approach, was like, you can do that every once in a while, and like when you pull it off, it's special. But like, let's, you know, kind of rein it back a little bit. Is that how you feel with him, or with more coaching and more development, he should be able to kind of figure that out?
Yeah, I look at Pavel and I'm like, man, this kid must be a huge fan of the MLB, because he's either striking out or going for the home run right now. Like,
chicks dig the long ball. Yes.
Yeah, everybody loves the long ball, right? And this kid loves to go for the long ball, and he still does it from time to time. Like I said, he still goes to intercept that pass that's up at the blue line or cross crease and stuff, and he'll try to generate a breakaway or an odd man rush, and he does a really good job at it. And he's picking his spots a little bit better. He's understanding that he doesn't have to be going 100 miles an hour while he's intercepting the pass. Like, he can pick up the speed once he's got the puck on his stick. So he's kind of figuring it out defensively. He's not a super, super physical guy, but he will go for that home run hit once in a while. He'll try to take a dude out along the boards and kind of really close in on a guy. There's these moments where he shows these really high-end instincts, and I think that's there for him. I think you look at how good offensively this guy is, and you go, if he can translate that offensive mindset he has into the defensive side of the game and go, what would I do next? Or what would another offensive player do next and anticipate the play that way? I think that's going to be a big area of improvement for him. And I think we saw that with Erik Karlsson, like you mentioned. There's these moments where, especially towards the end of his career in Ottawa, where it was like, okay, he's becoming a pretty dominant defensive player, despite the fact that people weren't giving him credit for it. And it was because he was just so smart that he was anticipating play so much that he wasn't necessarily suppressing shots. He just wasn't allowing play to be created. And that's where I think Pavel can become a pretty plus defender, even if he's not going to be that physical, beat a guy down in front of the net or wreck a guy along the boards consistently in a board battle kind of way.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, the way the NHL's moving nowadays, like, those guys are becoming, you know, I don't want to say obsolete. I think there's always going to be, you know, those guys, but like, the best way to play defense is to not let the other team just have the puck. And, you know, you're seeing that with teams like Colorado and et cetera, where it's just like, we're going to play defense by not letting you play defense, by not just letting you have the puck. And, you know, if we can control the puck 75% of the time, that makes it really hard for you to try to score on that other 25% of the time. But I did want to ask about his kind of hockey IQ, because we've seen with the Sharks where they're looking for, you know, recently, like, Gannon Larocque, I know Gannon Larocque was a fourth-round pick, but, like, Doug Wilson Jr. came out and said, like, we want to have smart, mobile, puck-moving defensemen. Do you think that kind of fits the bill with Pavel? Like, where is his hockey IQ, you know, high enough to be able to kind of fit into what the Sharks are potentially looking for?
I do. I think the IQ isn't the issue with him. Sometimes it's the risk-taking. And I don't necessarily think that's a ding on his IQ. I think that's him going, okay, like, I'm better
than everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the OHL and I can do that. Right. Like, this is a guy that he's treating the OHL like a lot of guys in the AJHL treat that league, where it's like, okay, I'm just clearly better than this. Like, we talked about guys that going the last few drafts, Michael Benning and stuff like that, where it's like, okay, they're scoring a lot of points, but it's because they're just clear ahead of the competition at the AJHL level. Well, Pavel's doing that at the OHL level, which in my opinion is the best of the three CHL leagues. And I think he's doing it at such a high level on such a, like, let's be honest, a pretty crappy team.
Oh, they're terrible. Yeah.
they were rough to watch all year long, yeah, pretty much. And he was able to still create plays, still generate offense, still drive play up the ice. And I do think there was that element of, I have to do it because no one else is going to, essentially, at times. But the fact that he's able to kind of create these plays, see the passing lanes, he's a guy that I think is one of the best high to low passers in the draft this year, where he can be at the blue line. He'll send a pass to the back door, despite it only being 7-8 feet laterally. It's a huge 30-foot pass from the blue line or something. Like, this guy has the potential to do all these really outstanding offensive things in the offensive zone. And then he has this skating ability and the breakout ability to be an excellent transition player. So you look at Pavel and you're like, man, if we can pair him with an early career Marko Vlasic, like, that's a great player to pair with him. And obviously you're not getting that out of Vlasic now, but
we're working on our time machine right now. So
yeah, exactly. But you draft another guy that can kind of do that, or you bring in another guy that can do that, right? You have these other players that can kind of complement his game and maybe make up for some of the shortcomings in his game. But I think he has a potential to kind of bring some of those shortcomings up to at least be an average NHL defender, and then a plus transition player and a plus offensive player.
Yeah, I was reading where he was beginning the season, he was heavily used in the transition. I guess they kind of backed off and worked on his, you know, the system a little bit and his transition. That's good to see that's there. I think that's kind of an underrated aspect of hockey, because, you know, we're like, oh, cool, that guy scored points. But, like, you know, getting the puck from point A to point B is not as easy as, you know, we make it out to be sometimes. And I hope that they don't kind of coach all the creativity out with his transition game. But I wanted to ask, I mean, the guy, he did score 17 goals. So I assume his shot is it a quantity over quality with his shot, or is he just have a really good shot as well?
I think there is a quantity factor. He does shoot a lot. He gets, and the thing is, he gets good shots off. Like, he gets shots off from good spots, and he has a whippy shot. I don't want to say it's necessarily like a really like a booming slapper. Like, he doesn't really have that. It's not even this like laser beam of a shot from the point, but he gets it off his stick really quick. He gets it through traffic efficiently. He's one of the best guys at shooting the puck towards the net and hoping for a tip. It'd be nice if Saginaw had a player that could get to the net and tip a puck, but because of that, he was able to kind of beat goalies just above the pads and stuff like that. So he does a really good job of getting shots located well and being quick with getting them off. He'll get a shot off from a weird position. Like, I've seen him multiple times skating backwards along the blue line, kind of like baiting a forward towards him. And right before the forward gets there, he just fires a shot off. And because the goalie's not expecting a guy skating backwards, essentially, to shoot the puck, it goes in. And I've seen stuff like that work at the NHL level. Like, that's Cale Makar type stuff. And there's no world where I think Pavel Minchukov becomes Cale Makar. But if he's got
some of the same qualities,
exactly. He has some of those elements in his game. And I think Pavel, like I said, one of the funnest players in the draft to watch. And as he matured this year, I took that left wing label off him a little more every time I watched him. But yeah, he's still got that in him. And that ability to kind of, exactly. Right. You erase the W and just leave the D there. And yeah. That's a quote. this is a guy that I think the maturation process over the year was really impressive. And I think that's something that people don't pay attention to as much as they should. A guy's development over a single year, especially in his draft year, especially a guy like this who didn't get the chance to play in the OHL last year because of COVID, you watched him be coached. You watched him be coachable and learn and mature as the year went on. And that's big for a guy that in this year, like I said, the lost season of COVID for a lot of players sucked. And a lot of players, including, I think, the top player in the draft, Shane Wright, stagnated a little bit in their development. You watched a guy like Pavel really develop this year and take literal, like, marginal steps throughout the year. And that's a big thing for a guy like this, I think.
So the Sharks are going to have an interesting, because you look at, like, Korchinski and you look at Pavel, and they're really closely ranked in a lot of who do you like between those two guys?
That's tough. I've had a lot of I actually was talking with a couple other scouts this week about those two exact players and trying to decipher them. And right now I have Korchinski slightly ahead. I think I like Korchinski's game a lot. I think the transitional ability and the escapability that he has in his own zone is just exceptional. I think he's probably my favorite defenseman to watch in this draft, but Pavel's not too far behind. Honestly, I think Pavel's offensive game is a bit more developed, a bit more cerebral. He toys with guys at times, which I find hilarious.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
And that's one of those things where it's like, are you going to be able to do that at the NHL level? And there's always a question mark about that. But like you said, with where the game's going, that's becoming more and more commonplace. So I think a guy like Pavel could really excel at the NHL level with the right coaching and with patience, because a guy like this is going to need time to develop. I don't think he's a guy that you can throw into the lineup in a year or even maybe two, but you give him another year in the OHL, give him a year in the AHL, and then you look at where he's at and you make a decision from there.
All right, before we kind of talk about where Pavel would fit with the Sharks, let's go ahead and take a quick break, talk about our Lord and Savior, Gambler. BetOnline, our partners at BetOnline, continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. So find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs and hockey playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even futures for the NFL. Go hammer the Dolphins over on wins. It's at 8.5. They're going to win like 11 games. BetOnline is your continuous source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the transaction. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so if the Sharks were to take Pavel, where would you kind of see him fitting in with their current prospects? I assume Eklund is the Sharks' holy grail right now. Like, is he their second best, third best prospect right now?
Probably. I'd say, yeah. I think the Sharks have got a sneaky good prospect pool, but I think
blue chip talent. Like, they have Eklund, but like, other than that, it's like, oh, those are a lot of really good guys you have potential.
Yeah. Exactly. I look at the Sharks prospect pool and I'm like, man, they have a lot of middle six, second pair guys. Like, it's great to have. Like, it's an outstanding pool to have. It's better to have that than something like what Toronto had a few years ago. Or
I mean, where it's some of these random teams, even like, right? 3 years ago, like, their prospect pool's grown immensely. But yeah, it's still, it's other than Eklund, there's not just that like blue chip, like that's the guy type of guy.
Yeah, and you know what? Like I think he probably does fit right into kind of that second spot. He's a guy that I think you look at towards the end of Carlson's contract, you go, man, if he gets a chance to learn from Carlson a little bit, I think that'd be fantastic. And I know we've talked about that with Ryan Merkley, and he's a guy that I think Pavel has some similar traits to. And I know people probably don't want to hear about that all that much, but Ryan Merkley's a smaller player, and I think that's what's held him back a little bit at times. Mm-hmm. Pavel doesn't have that size issue. I think Pavel has that size, and Pavel will play the physical game once in a while. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of see where he ends up fitting in the lineup. But I think he's going to be a threat to play on the power play. He's going to be a threat to be an offensive player at 5-on-5. And anytime he gets the chance to learn from Carlson, learn from Burns, learn from Merkley in a couple of years even, like those are good players to have kind of examples in front of him and go, okay, this is the things I can do at the NHL level. This is the things I can't do, and kind of work out from there.
So yeah, you mentioned Ryan Merkley, and before the show, you said he's like a bigger Ryan Merkley. Like compare the two. I mean, you know, Merkley, we've seen flashes of that offensive just wizardry where it's like you were saying before, just making guys look stupid at the NHL level, and that's hard to do. You know, I mean, these guys are professionals, and but I mean, you definitely see that with, you know, he's not the. Again, he's not the most physical guy, and you don't have to be the most physical guy to play defense, but you know, it's something that he's been working on to try to be a better defenseman. But I mean, are you worried about something like that with Pavel, where he might just lean too much on his offense and never kind of realize his full potential defensively?
That's my biggest worry with him, honestly, is that he doesn't continue taking those steps that we've seen kind of later in the year this year with defensive games. So I think there is a worry with him. I still do have him like right outside my top 15. I think he's at 16 or 17 on my board right now. And it's a guy that I look at and I'm like, man, like the potential for what he could be, like I very well could see him being the best defenseman in this draft. But there's also a world, I think, where the guy doesn't play more than 50 games in the NHL because he doesn't quite ever get that back end figured out. But comparing him and Merkley, I think Pavel's probably a little bit better of a skater. I think Pavel's a little bit more of a physical presence in general. I think their creativity is very similar, though. I think the things that we saw Ryan Merkley try at both the junior AHL and now the NHL level, we're going to see Pavel do kind of go through those same growing pains. Can he pull the spin move off at the AHL level? Sometimes Ryan Merkley couldn't do that, and he kind of realized that, and he's kind of understanding, okay, this is something I can't do, and I got to take that out of my toolbox and put something else more useful into it. And we're seeing that development now, and it's been a few years since he was drafted, so it's taken some time. And Pavel could very well be a long road kind of guy towards the NHL, but man, if this kid gets the patience, the development, the coaching that he needs, there's a very high likelihood that he's a top four defenseman on this team and kind of challenging for top power play spot.
All right, so where does he top out as? What do you see him?
Where does he top out as? That's a tough question because I do think he's this really high boom prospect. I don't think he'll ever be a number one. Number ones are very special, and I don't even think every team in the NHL has a number one, to be completely honest. And then there's a few
respect on Jacob Vigna's name.
So. Yeah, exactly, right? And then there's a couple teams like the San Jose Sharks who've got three or four
number ones. Like all of them, yeah. Yeah,
everybody's a number one.
Plethora of number ones.
But no, I think at the top end, he could be a really serviceable second pair, really high-end second pair defenseman. Mm-hmm. If he ends up on the first pair, I don't think he'd be super out of place, though. I think if he's your number two guy, I think that's a guy that you can go, okay, we know what we're getting from him. If we have someone that can cover up some of his flaws, he could probably play that top pair role. Do I see that as the full likelihood? Probably not. I think he ends up as a 3-4 guy. But like I said, there is the possibility that it's a little bit better than that, and there's a possibility he's kind of an AHL all-star.
All right. The blood question. What pick does he go?
Read the board.
All right. So we have, of course, Montreal, New Jersey, Arizona, 4 Seattle, 5 Philly, 6 Columbus, 7 Ottawa, he's too good of a prospect for the draft, 8 Detroit, 9 Buffalo, 10 Anaheim, 11 San Jose, 12 Columbus, 13 the Islanders, 14 Winnipeg, 15 Vancouver, 16 Buffalo, 17 Nashville, 18 Dallas, 19 LA, and then 20 Washington.
Ooh. I'm going to say Columbus.
Columbus, I think the second one?
The second pick. Yeah. Because I think with Columbus having the two picks, they kind of need a little bit of everything in their prospect pool. I think they have guys, but it's similar to the Sharks. Their blue chip guy just got into the NHL and Kenneth Johnson. Yeah. And Cole Sillinger's already there. And now they're looking at their prospect pool and they're like, okay, now we have a bunch of good prospects, but we don't have that high end guy. And taking a swing on a guy like Pavel, with especially if they get him at their second pick, I think they're laughing and they're probably really happy with that pick. So that's going to be my guess as to where he goes, at least right now. But yeah, Pavel's going to be an interesting one because I could see him going, like I've heard people talking about him in the top 6-7 even. And then I've heard other people talking about him at 32, 33. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see where he fits into this draft class, because like I said to you a little bit beforehand, like this draft class is weird and you're seeing what people value in their draft rankings, because there's not this big chasm between certain guys and you have this big mushy group from like 3 or 4 to 15, 16. And then after that, it's like 16, 17 to
whatever,
75. Yeah. Like it's ridiculous this year. So you're really going to kind of see what teams value when they draft guys. And you're seeing that with public boards right now with what the individuals or the teams that are putting these boards together value.
Yeah. I'm interested. I think that with the Sharks, I've kind of talked about this before where, you know, I still think Doug Wilson, he's going to pick the best player, but if you asked him truthfully, I think he wants one of these defensemen to fall to him just because they've been so heavy on their forwards, you know, drafting forwards recently. You know, the 2020 draft class was like 9 forwards. And then, you know, they last year was Eklund at number one. And, you know, they haven't really put resources into a high-end defenseman since Ryan Merkley. And, you know, I don't think Ryan Merkley's been panning out the way that they had hoped him to be. I mean, he was still a swing at number 20. So we've asked you before who your favorite and who you think's gonna be the best. So here's which player has risen the most for you personally in the draft process since the start of the year to where we're at now?
That's easy for me. Kevin Korchinski. He was a guy that when I released my board at the midseason, I had an NHL scout reach out to me and they go, "Hey man, like your board's really good. It's actually pretty close to where ours kind of is sitting right now. But watch
Kevin Doug Wilson Jr."
Yeah, it was Doug Wilson Jr. himself, actually.
Damn, I just talked to him last week. I should have asked him. Oh yeah. Well.
Every once in a while he'll text me and stuff. We're good chum. We're pals.
That's good.
But no, and they were like, "You need to watch this kid more. Like I don't know if you missed something or why you have him in the 40s. Mm-hmm. This kid's a talent." And immediately I watched him and I watched 6 or 7 games right away because I was like, I need to see what I'm missing. If that's the biggest difference between my board and theirs, I want to see what's going on. And it was like, oh, like, yeah, I'm missing something here. Like there was definitely things I was missing. It was primarily in the transition game, the escapability in his own zone. The things he does to kind of create space for himself in the defensive zone are really impressive. I think he does a lot of these little things really well that lead to bigger things. He's an excellent, like you talk about people, like you hear it all the time in prospects, you're chaining events together. And Kevin Korchinski is one of the best defensemen, in my opinion, in this draft class at chaining small events together to make one big event happen. And he does such a good job of driving play and pushing the puck up ice. And when you see him play with better players, he does such a good job. So he's a guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing where he gets drafted, because if he falls into the 20s or something like that, like some team's going to get a steal. But at the same time, like I could see him easily going in the top 10 because he's a guy that I have kind of close to there myself.
Awesome. Tony, you've done it all. Where can the people find you? What do you got coming out next?
You can find me on the Hockey News and on Twitter. I'm at TheTonyFerrari. I've got a lot of game tape with Tony videos coming out, which is just me interviewing these prospects from this draft class and going over some game film with them and actually breaking down the film with them, getting their opinion on their own play and asking them, what were you doing on this play, or what led to this goal, or things like that. So it's really fun to kind of break down tape with them. And then I
thought, spoil anybody you got coming up.
The next couple I have coming up, Danny Jokin should be out on Thursday. Eve Gascon, who is the female goalie that in the KMJHL that made her debut this year and got a win. I interviewed her and she'll be coming out shortly after.
Awesome.
Noah Warren, Owen Pickering, Jagger Furkus just came out, or he's coming out soon. I don't remember. there's a ton, but you can check it all out on the Hockey News and they'll all be posted on YouTube kind of right close to the draft to really just start pumping those videos out. So it's going to be a ton of fun.
And of course you can find us Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Locked On Sharks. You can also listen to us wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, you know, wherever you're listening to us right now. You can watch us on YouTube as we make our march to 1,000. Please subscribe. And again, on Thursday night, probably about 8 p.m. Pacific time, we're going to be having a nice all vibes, no one else's show for Kyle to kind of send him off. So make sure you guys subscribe. You can find me on the Twitter at MyFryHole. Kyle's at Kyle Demetrius. Tony's at the Tony Ferrari, as if he was stealing a car Ferrari. And thank you guys for making us your first listen. Go check out Locked On NHL to go see what's going on with the playoffs, because apparently you don't want to hear us talk about the playoffs. And we'll be back tomorrow with sad Kyle episode.
Before you go, I have one thing to ask you, though.
Yes.
On that episode, are you going to announce from the DMs who is the new co-host?
I'm going to do the road. I've already announced the new co-host. It's Dakota. Dakota's the new co-host, guys. She's going to... You've heard her barking. She's been trying to creak in. Yep, Dakota's the co-host, so yes.
Fantastic.
I'll just read all the DMs without without the names. That's a little too embarrassing, but yeah. Anyway.
They must have been fun, buddy.
There was several of them, so. Bye, friends.